T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to 3 damn good dogs questions. Yeah. Brian Gebhardt will come in, and we'll get back into what to look for on Saturday night against Notre Dame. Before we do that, though, as we always do at 12:20, it's time for the Lunchtime Falcons Report. And Dave Archer joins us today for the Lunchtime Falcons Report, which is appropriate because he's a part of the intro to the Lunchtime Falcons Report.
Hey, Dave, what's going on, brother?
Good, man. I just you going up to the? Are you going to be the honorary captain for the coin toss with the Irish in town?
I'm still debating if that's going to happen or not. You know, they reached out, so I might do it.
Yeah,
who knows?
You got a lot going. You got a lot going on.
And tell me how you doing? How you? Because I know Sunday night made up for a kind of rough Saturday for you and the missus out there in Ames, huh?
Yeah. It was a long wait to watch Adrian Claiborne's Iowa Hawkeyes sneak out a 1-point win there at Jack Trice Stadium. So we had two lightning delays, and ultimately we didn't get it done. So I've got to go out today at open locker room. I'll have to have a Hawkeye shirt on.
Get out.
Oh, was that the bet?
Yeah, Claiborne and I, we did the apparel bet, and we took a picture and put it on Twitter, which one will we had a picture last week, which one will be donning the other team's jersey or colors.
Damn, so, Arch.
I'm going to have to wear that really nasty Pittsburgh Steelers colors.
Well, hopefully what happened on Sunday night helped ease that frustration a little bit. I know it did for Falcons fans. Now that you've gotten a chance to go back and look at that touchdown play where we know now Matt Ryan checked into, what stands out to you that maybe we don't see, something that maybe we wouldn't notice going back and looking at that play?
Well, I mean, just a great call, guys. I mean, they've been hit by the zero blitz all day long. And I know Randy probably been talking about it. You know, zero blitz, no help in the back end, man across the board. They're bringing more than you can block. And we had tried to put your foot in the ground and throw it down the field. Ryan got hit in the face a couple times. One of them resulted in an interception where he got hit before he could get the ball out. So you got to get the ball out quickly, and the jailbreak screen is the perfect call against that look. Now, if you don't get the look and they back out of it, they're going to blow up the screen. But fortunately, the gamble paid off. It's 4th and 4. Good call by Dirk Cutter. Good call by Matt Ryan to check to the play after they talked about it on the sideline. The part that is it's really cool, and Randy will love this part of it, and I know he saw it as well. You have to do things perfectly for this to work now. So with Mohamed Sanu in the slot, he tells Julio to widen a little bit when the call comes out. That widens Julio Jones's cover guy with him. Remember, man coverage across the board. So now Mohamed Sanu has to be patient. He has to release 2-3 steps up the field to freeze his cover guy. Because remember, he's not blocking his cover guy. Jake Matthews, the left tackle, has to block him. So he's got to set that block up. So 2 or 3 steps up the field, freezes his cover guy. Then he peels left to block Jones's cover guy, who's coming back to the inside to get the ball. And now Jake Matthews, because of Mohamed Sanu setting up the block, has time. The big fella gets out on the edge and just disintegrates the cover guy for Mohamed Sanu. And then, of course, once you get Jones in the open field, later, it's all over. You just got to put the money on the table, right?
Yes, sir. And, Arch, the one thing that I think that we talked about it, I know that you and I know everybody's talking about the physicality that Atlanta played with throughout the game. We do know right now that it's confirmed that the Eagles are having a walkthrough because they have so many guys banged up from that game on Sunday night. I know you probably still in the beginning of your prep for this game against Indianapolis, but their offensive line, Dave, they're one of the top offensive lines in the league, right?
This is going to be a battle, fellas, this weekend. You're talking about the offensive line for Indianapolis, right, Randy? That's who you're talking about. Yeah, it's a big physical offensive line. They're running the ball extremely well, and absolutely, they get Quentin Nelson just in his second year out of Notre Dame is already considered one of the best guards in the league. So this is a big, strong offensive line. They burned a lot of draft picks to build their offensive line to where they want it to be. Only give up 18 sacks a year ago, and I know that was Andrew Luck at quarterback. Now, they've given up 8 sacks already this season, which tells me, okay, having some problems blending together, maybe Jacoby Brissett holding the ball a little longer than Luck did. We'll have to kind of wait and see how it plays out for us. But, yes, they've been able to run it. Mac had a monster day in week one against the Chargers, where he went for 170 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So they're a big physical group up front, so it's no rest for the weary. You know, you got to get ready to load up and get ready to get. They're physical on their defensive side of the ball as well.
Right.
Hey, Dave, did you notice, I know obviously a slightly different group in week two than it was in week one on the offensive line for the Falcons. What did you notice improvement-wise for them from the first week to the second week?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, you cut down on the fouls, right? You had one foul. Jamon Brown got called for holding once, but I thought that when you cut down on the fouls, it's hard to overcome. Randy can tell you, it's hard to overcome major penalties. You know, you have a holding penalty, second and, I know it's first and 20, but they make it first and 10 for a reason, not first and 20. So 20 yards is hard to pick up. So it's hard to move the ball when you get the major penalties. They cut down on the fouls. I thought there was more cohesiveness to what they were doing, because this was as a challenging a scenario as you're going to get, because this was an Eagle team that I've seen them blitz, but I've never seen them come after a quarterback like they did this weekend. So this was something they were having to sort out on the sidelines, give the coaching staff a ton of credit for designing some of these blitzes and drawing them up on the board. The backs were outstanding. Give Ito Smith and Devontae Freeman a ton of credit. They had to slide over and pick guys up coming virtually all night long. They did that to allow Ryan to get the ball. I think Matt was sacked once. I think he was knocked to the ground, I don't know, 5-6 times, and that's going to happen when you have a team playing this much blitz coverage. But pretty good job by them up front. Now, we need to get the run game going, and I think that's the part that maybe the cohesiveness is not quite there yet. Tremendous toughness by Caleb McGarry to come back in the game after what we thought was just a horrifying injury. He's back. Looks like he's going to be able to go this week, so that's good. So you're going to have that same group together, it sounds like, this week, and they'll even grow even more this weekend.
Dave, you know, Matt Ryan with 7 interceptions last year. This year he's already got 5. And we're not worried about it, because we know that he'll figure out a way to stop throwing those interceptions like that. But in your opinion, what has been the key? Is it just been the protection thing, or is it just maybe he's just pressing?
Well, I think there's a combination of things, Randy. Whenever you throw the ball, intercept passes, there's three interceptions this weekend. One was a really bad throw that I thought was behind Sanu. I'm assuming Sanu got to the proper depth on the route. So if he did, that throw was behind him that got volleyballed in the air that got picked off at the end of the first half. The throw to Jones down the right sideline deep in their own territory, he gets hit in the mouth and is letting it go. He just didn't get enough on the ball. You got to understand that if you can't get it out, it's better to eat it there. So that will be a decision-making process for him there. Not necessarily a throw and a bad read. He just got hit as he was letting it go, and you're probably going to have to hang on to the ball there. The one to Hooper is the one that probably bothered him the most. He's got Hoop open over the middle, and probably Hoop's going to be able to score on the play on the little checkdown route. And Brandon Graham hits him right underneath the arm as he's letting it go, and he can't pull the ball down on his target. And so the ball stayed high. It looked like he was throwing it maybe to Stocker in the end zone. He was trying to get it to Hooper, and he just couldn't pull the ball down on his target. So I give credit to the pass rush a little bit, but Matt's certainly got to understand, hey, if I'm in tight quarters, I got to take care of the ball. I cannot turn it over in the red zone. We've had 2 red zone turnovers down there deep. You can't afford to turn the ball over and give away points.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, our lunchtime Falcons report every single day at 12:20. You mentioned it, Arch. Obviously, we want to see the run game get going a little bit better. How does Devontae Freeman look to you through 2 games this season?
Yeah, I think the criticism of Freeman has been a little bit overblown. I think Free certainly has not gotten into the rhythm that we would like to see him get into, but I'm not sure any of our running game has gotten into a rhythm. I know Ito Smith is getting a lot of love, and he should. Ito's done a nice job when he's gotten a chance to come in, but 32 yards on 4 carries looks really good when you look at it that way. He had 23 on one play.
Right.
So when you boil his other 3 carries down, he didn't do anything either. So Devontae Freeman had a couple of really nice runs. I thought we saw some burst. I think the play that was indicative of who Devontae Freeman in was the shovel pass to the inside, the little middle screen, where you saw him step on the accelerator and run away from people and blast the ball inside the 5-yard line. That's what Devontae brings to the table, and he also has the ability to line up in the slot or outside the numbers, which he did once in this game Sunday night, and caught a slant route coming to the inside. That's not something they really asked Ito Smith to do. That's something that Devontae Freeman can do, and probably solely Devontae Freeman from a running back position. So I think the criticism of Devontae Freeman, or that he's not the same guy, is way too premature right now. I think that he just hadn't been given an opportunity for as many runs, and that's the way it's going to be. But if you go back to 16, when he and Coleman shared the duties, he didn't get a lot of runs there either. So I think it's just a matter of him ramping up, getting a couple more opportunities. I think we'll see Devontae Freeman make some plays.
I'm ready. I know Dirk wants to. I know Dirk wants to run the football. It was funny. Archie said that we're a run first team. I was like, okay, that's what you believe. I mean, I've always thought of the Falcons as a pass team, but he wants to run that football, Arch. And Arch, you know, the best thing that a young player can do is learn from their mistakes. How do you think Isaiah Oliver played in his second week after some struggles in the first game?
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. No question, Randy. It's a great guy to bring up. I thought Oliver played with a lot more confidence. And they say that, you know, young players, and you probably experienced this, I know I did, you improve exponentially when you're a young player because every game is so much more information. When you get to be older, it's not as much impact to you. But as a young player, I thought he did a nice job, cut down on the fouls. See, that's the one thing, is a guy nervous and is he making mistakes and committing fouls? The holding penalties, illegal contact, pass interference, we didn't see that. I think he had one foul in this game, but much better, much tighter coverage. He's a very good tackler. Obviously, he made a huge play at the end of the game to keep Earth short of the first down.
Hey, Arch, great stuff. We appreciate the time. As always, we will we'll see you in a couple hours up there at Flowery Branch.
Appreciate you, Arch.
Unfortunately, wearing an Iowa shirt.
Yeah, unfortunately. Thanks,
Tom. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.